Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Friday session again of Abounding Grace, where Wes Bradenhoff has joined us from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff, and we are very excited to again bring to you the doctrines and discuss the great doctrines of the Christian faith that we might know what we believe and why. Today, we're going to take up the great doctrine of election. That makes people a little bit nervous when we say that. Probably in the history of the church, this has been debated and thought about and discussed to the point where even many Christian groups do not speak or have broken fellowship with one another. It's a sad development because in the whole scheme of things, election is designed to be one of the most beautiful and comforting doctrines that the Lord could possibly give to a sinner.
Absolutely. You know, and basically it boils down to that God chose us. That's the simple... the most simple definition that we can bring to it. And then we get into the whole issue of why did God choose us?
Right. With the issue of God did choose us, that's set in contrast to often what is presented today as if the Lord is sort of waiting and begging for us to choose him, if he makes his case good enough for us to believe.
Right. Well, it's this idea that, you know, God has cast his vote, Satan has cast his vote, and now it's your turn to cast your vote. And that's
right.
Kind of the broader Christian idea of election these days. But is it the biblical idea of election? I think that's what we want to look at today.
Right. And, you know, I think one of the frustrating things for me is that often people who deny the doctrine of election are very unwilling to look at some of the very express and clear passages in the Bible that teach this.
Mm-hmm.
We want to outline a few for you today and then discuss the implications of this, that this would not be viewed as some great scary monster to us, as if the Lord is robbing us of any Christian joy or our autonomy as we see it, but that we understand that what the Lord is revealing to us is the greatest comfort for the Christian, so that at the end of the day, we know our salvation is in his hand and not ours. And if you know your sin, that's quite a comforting thing.
Well, this is a revelation of God's love.
Right.
Election is about God's love, and that's why I treasure it so much.
Right. I think of something like Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And here it is. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You know, that's all in the indicative.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about the imperative there. There's nothing we did. You have the whole outline that he blessed us. He chose us, which is election, eklektos, having predestined us to the praise of his glory, by which he made us accepted. You hear the utter sovereignty in that?
Oh, absolutely. And it's also, there's also a purpose. There's a direction in all of this. And I see two directions in this passage. One is that we were chosen by God, that we should be holy and without blame before him. The purpose of election was to create a people who would live holy and blameless lives before God. And so election is not based on holy lives and blameless lives, but it's meant to result in holy and blameless lives. That's the first thing. The second thing, and we find this throughout Ephesians 1, actually, not just in the passage that we read, but Paul is full of praise for God in this passage. This passage is what we call doxological. Paul is exalting God and praising him. And That should be the result of our consideration of this doctrine of election. If we're not praising God because of this biblical teaching, we have to ask ourselves, do we really understand it?
Well, and that goes along with often the attack, which is sadly true sometimes, that you get this notion of the chosen frozen.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, those people are chosen, but there's no spiritual life or joy in them at all. And that is so contrary to a right understanding of election. We don't pat ourselves on the back. Election is the most humbling doctrine because what it says is that God's love was totally founded in him. It had no view towards you. He saw only a sinner dead in trespasses and sins and an enemy of God. And yet he chose out of his sovereign grace and love to set his electing, saving love upon you before time began. And we ask the question, why, Lord? Why would you do that? And the only answer the Bible ever gives to that question is according to the good pleasure of his will. And that's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says.
Right. And I think we also have to look back. You know, you mentioned a moment ago about our sin, that, you know, is there anything in us that would allow God to say, you know, look at this person. He's worthy of being chosen for me. Well, if we skip ahead to Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world." Dead in trespasses and sins. That means there was no life in us when God chose us. Purely out of grace.
Purely out of grace. And when we understand that, boy, that takes on a whole different meaning for your salvation, because immediately the whole thing is taken outside of your hands and you recognize that God's wonderful grace has reached down and rescued you. And of course, the charge then, well, that's just going to produce careless living, is foolish, because you misunderstand the whole point of salvation. He elected us, as Wes said, to what end? To be holy and without blame. That election is going to bring us into to be a new creature in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be a whole new transformed life that lives thankfully for so great a salvation.
Right. And once we believe in Christ, we are joined to Christ, we recognize that God has called us to be his, then we are engrafted into Christ. We become a part of him. We have union with him. And we can think of John 15:5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." And then he says this, "For without me, you can do nothing."
Yeah, what a statement. Without me, you can do nothing. Or John 6, you know, "No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." These sort of strong sovereignty statements to take it out of our hands and to recognize that grace is grace. It means grace. It means what it is.
Yeah.
And what it is you don't have anything in the equation.
Right. And you, the only thing you contribute to your salvation, you do contribute one thing. It's your sin.
It's your sin. That's it's your misery.
It. That's it.
You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Wes, you have outlined there the great apostasy. And it's a very, sometimes Christians read this, they get very, some get very scared because, you know, it says that there's this son of perdition, this antichrist that's going to come. There's going to be this great falling away that comes first. All these terrible things at work, this mystery of lawlessness. You know, right after that, what gets lost is this passage.
Mm-hmm.
"But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, I don't know what's more clear than that. In light of all this bad stuff going on, your comfort is that you're loved by God and that he chose you for salvation, calling you so that you would obtain the glory.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, there are, like you mentioned, many passages in Scripture that speak in the same vein. And, you know, those who neglect or minimize the doctrine of election, I think they have to come to terms with those passages.
What is the hope, Wes, in teaching that, you know, because we don't like this teaching by nature, we don't like it because it affects our autonomy. What is the hope with this very prevalent view today? Well, you know, God is sovereign, but he doesn't want to violate us. And so he looks down the corridor of time, mm-hmm, to see who's going to choose him. And then he makes his decision based upon the one who decides to choose him.
Well, you know what that essentially does is that makes something over God. That there is, that God is not absolute, God is not sovereign, but that there is something called chance, called free will, whatever it is, that is over and above God. And I think the scriptures are don't support that view.
Well, and you have a direct statement a few times in something like Psalm 53 and Psalm 14, where it says, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." And so he looks down the corridor of time. Mm-hmm. And he sees, do any seek me? And he says, they have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There's none who does good. No, not one. Now, when you set that in contrast to election, you see the wonderful grace of God shine through. And all you can do is fall on your knees in tearful joy and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me.
And I think that's why when we talk about election, we need to add an adjective. The adjective is unconditional. That it's not based on anything in us, that it is unconditional, that it is purely out of God's grace. You know, God doesn't owe us anything. And in fact, with grace, we get the opposite of what we deserve.
And the whole truth in that, Wes, what you just articulated, brings the most glory to God. Mm-hmm. And Paul said in Romans chapter 3, you know, where's boasting then? If we could say, I did it, I decided in my autonomous will to choose God, there is reason for boasting. But that system does not give God the most glory. No, what gives God the most glory is looking upon a dead sinner who has rebelled and fought against him all of his life and setting his sovereign love purely in his own desire, according to the good pleasure of his own will, decided to love him.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, when I reflect on that myself, I mean, I can't help but say amazing grace. Like, it is truly amazing. It blows your mind.
Well, we want you to share these same sort of joys with us. That's why we bring these truths to you each and every week. Hopefully, you'll prayerfully consider what's said and look at the scriptures with an honest viewpoint, understanding that these things are revealed for the glory of God and the salvation of your souls as you trust in Jesus Christ. We proclaim him every week, Wes, at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Yeah, people can find us on 52nd Avenue near the airport in Langley. We have our worship services on Sundays at 9:30 and 2 o'clock. You can get more information at our website, www.langleycanrc.org.
Thank you for joining us today. Until another edition of the Abounding Grace, may the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We thank you for joining us. As always, it's a real privilege and a delight spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments of any kind, or maybe even a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or write to us, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. Or you can visit our website and drop us an email at lindenurc.com. In fact, we have a lot of information there, including directions if you would like to join us for worship. lindenurc.com. Now, if you're writing to us using U.S. Mail, you can do so at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, that also serves as our place of worship. If you'd like to join us, again, you're more than welcome. The offer is always open to you. Call us at 360-318-0429 for directions, or simply, again, go to our website, lindenurc.com, for those directions. And then we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.